You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate
and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world.
And now, innovation thought leader
and your super fly host,
Tamara Kleinberg.
All right, today is going to be packed. I am here with the Gina Schreck. She is the president of Social Connects, a content marketing and social media management company. Social Connects helps manage online brands for realtor associations, hotels, health and fitness organizations. Gina is an international speaker, author of several books, including Getting Geeky with Twitter, and was the technical editor on the latest Complete Idiot's Guide to Social Media, with an exclamation point. Gina was ranked as one of the top 50 women influencers online in Fast Company's Influence Project, so that's a pretty hard feat, so congratulations on that, and as one of the top 20 online social media coaches. So here to help us thrive in this new digital frontier is Gina Schreck. Hey, Gina.
Hi. So good to be here.
Great to have you. And I have to open up with this because you probably don't remember this, but the first time we met was through a connection of ours, Ravi, in Canada. And we were at an NSA conference and you held a Twitter meetup and you created these little squares.
That was our first time we met?
I think so. Where we all put the little square in front of us and had our, because that was the only way we would recognize each other.
It was in 2010 or?
Yeah, it was 9 years ago.
Because we said we only recognize people now through the little, cropped profile picture.
Exactly right. It was the best. I will never forget that. So, okay, enough of, memory lane.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. You and I had a conversation the other day on the phone that kind of opened my eyes. And one of the things you were talking about is it's so much more than social media. It's online marketing or content management. So will you talk a little bit about what today's online marketing, for lack of a better term on my end, what it really is?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and say, social media has been in our world for about 10 years, plus or minus, depending on how savvy people were jumping on board. But and back then it was all about social media. We had to be on social media. We had to use social media. We had to learn social media. And it really, now we've kind of taken a step back to say, it's all marketing. There's not offline traditional marketing and online digital marketing. It's really, when you look at a large company, their marketing department has to look at every aspect of marketing and where you touch your consumers. So I try to get people off the concept, because they keep everything so separate. They do this for social marketing and they do this for traditional marketing, instead of looking at how do we meet the business objectives and where are our consumers? They're online, they're offline. And so then you don't miss how you can connect better with your consumers. So you really have to look at social media is a tool in that marketing tool belt. And you and I talked about, there's so many tools right now. When you even think of social media, there's so many platforms. So as long as people don't get caught up on a platform, you look at it as this is another channel that we can connect with customers. Do we have customers watching that channel? If not, we don't need to be on that channel. So it's just a tool, and you have to fine tune which tools you're going to, I would say we have a toolbox. I don't have a handyman husband. So we have a tool closet that I have thrown tools in. But when I go to do a project, and I say I, because if there's something that needs fixing, it's usually me that has to fix it. I go in and I have to look at, okay, I can't just grab a hammer, which is the most common tool when you think of tools like hammer and saw, but there's so many things that you might need, even screwdrivers. I call it the crisscross screwdriver. Do I need a crisscross screwdriver, Phillips, or do I need a straight, flathead screwdriver? So same thing with social media. I need to look at which fine-tuned tool do I need for the objective we're trying to meet.
So walk me through you had a great analogy about it being like the solar system.
Yeah.
Walk us through that, because I think that helped me understand where I should and shouldn't be using things, or how I should think about it versus just blah, social media.
Right. Because that's usually, we just, as long as we're throwing things up on a social media channel somewhere, we consider that a check, we could check it off our list. Yeah. Well, we're doing social media. But I look at it and say, if you really look at all of your content that you have, as a content universe. So your core, your sun, is your core message. It could be your website. It's really the essence of your business. And everything that you do in marketing is to pull people, gravitationally pull people to that core. You've got to pull them in. Now, most people think throw something up on social media and people are going to immediately come and buy something from me. And that doesn't happen. They get disappointed and they say social media doesn't work. And what we have to do is we look at the core message and we say, okay, how can we create planets that will rotate around our core? And the planets are blog posts, video, speaking. It could be an ebook. It can be, there's so many pieces of content that we create, white papers. So anything that you can create that will draw people. So when people see you speak, it should draw them to the core of wanting to know more about how they can work with you. If somebody reads one of your ebooks, it should, if you've got good call to actions in there, it should pull people to the core. Even a blog post. So many people are random in the way they throw a blog post up instead of thinking at the bottom of a blog post. Am I asking for a call to action at the bottom of my blog post to say, download this tip sheet that ties in with this topic to help you? And then therefore I pull you closer to my core because now I have your email address and I can follow up with email. So all of these planets, they're going to all serve a purpose of drawing people to the core. Now social media comes in, and I consider social media all the stars because they're just random thousands, millions of posts that go out. Right. And your social media posts, their job is not to drive people directly to the core. It could work, but your social media posts pull people to a planet. So I put a social media post that says, you know, 10 tips for, you know, optimizing your LinkedIn profile. And they go to that, they click on that because there's no commitment. They click on that. They read the blog post. There's a call to action. They download this tip sheet. Now I can email them. All I'm wanting to do is say, are people interested enough that they're coming a little closer, a little closer, a little closer until they're in the sun?
So I have to imagine, right, that the same is true for products. I'm thinking about just some of the companies I work with and the entrepreneurs who have products. Maybe not, they're not content experts the way kind of you and I are, as well, right, as our services. I would assume it works the same way for them too, right? Like, get that stuff out there and pull them in.
Well, and I think this is where we have to get a little bit out of our box of this is what I sell. You have to look at who is my community of people that I want to sell to and what are they interested in? One example is there's a friend of mine, actually somebody I met through Facebook, and he has a product business and he initially was just selling t-shirts. But when we got to the core, because his core, his son was not t-shirts.
That's just a product.
That's just a product. His core was he really wanted to build this community around helping people be more loving, do better things for the planet. And so, okay, let's create tip sheets or resource guides or what are 10 apps that are earth-friendly apps that help us do good? What are my top 10 things that are random acts of kindness that we should all go out and do? You can create content that still draws people in. And then within that content, you have links to products that support that idea. So I think sometimes product people think they're not content people, but content is a way to market your product.
So if I hear you right, Gina, I think what I'm hearing you say is, I mean, first of all, it's not just social media, right? Like that's a piece of the strategy.
Right.
And think about what your tribe wants and give it to them. And they'll eventually buy your product or service. I mean, within your core.
Right.
But it's not just about pumping out your product or service. It is about connecting with those people in a way that actually they find valuable, which sounds so obvious now that I said it out loud.
Yeah, I know. Well, and it's interesting because I have another girlfriend. She has a great jewelry business and she gets frustrated because she says, there's so many people who sell jewelry. And I said, okay, so let's think about what is it that makes your jewelry different? And she talked about where she sources the materials for it. And I said, okay, what if you just wrote some posts or did a video on why that's important to you? And you need to connect with the people who would be interested in the product. So how are you going to connect with them? Your content might be a video. Your content might be a tip sheet on before you buy a product, a piece of jewelry, here's 10 things to look for to see if they're coming from green sources or using recycled products or, you know, again, go to the core because your message is more than just your product. You have a message, you're passionate about. And then that helps you go, oh, well, yeah, of course I could talk to people about that. And of course I could talk to people about this. Then now you have things that people, there's no commitment. You're not asking someone to buy right away. You're asking them to read a post or an article or watch a video that they're going to immediately connect with you on. And then they're going to go, oh my gosh, I love this woman's message. I want more.
So I'll just throw it out there because you and I talked about this offline, but you know, I like to put my cards on the table. So you and I were talking about the fact that I was frustrated because I had done this Facebook ad, or I boosted a post basically for my business.
Yeah.
And it was what I thought was a super clever post with a great photo. And get people to sign up for a free webinar, and it bombed. And everyone I've done like that has bombed, basically. So I haven't spent a ton. I probably spent $6,000 in 2016 trying to figure it out, right?
Right.
But I was making that mistake of trying to get people to not just buy from me, but give me something really precious right away, which is their email. And you're saying, whoa, like, let's have an appetizer first.
Yeah, just a little taste. Like, let me see if I kind of like you before I want to spend an hour with you and give you my email address.
Yeah.
So to me, the best thing to do when you're doing ads is drive your ad. And really, I always say it's not an ad. On the right side of your Facebook page, you've got ads. Then you've got posts that right. are sponsored posts. Yeah, and those posts are great because they're going to go into the news feed of people that you target. So, you know, I could be logging onto Facebook and I'm reading a post from my mom, and the very next post could be something about, you know, here's 10 ways that I can become more innovative with, you know, in my business. Right. And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. I click on it. There's no commitment because I'm just going to read a post.
Right.
And that ad drives me to content. Within that content, there's the call to action. If you like this content, because obviously if I read the content, you're right. going to have a place. And I always say, put it in the middle and at the end. Ideally put a little box that says, join us for our free webinar next week on how to really rock 2017 with creativity or something, you know. And now I've already tasted a little bit of your content. I'm like, I like your style. I kind of get a feel for how you would be speaking to me. So I'm going to click on that. Or maybe there's a video at the bottom and it's you at the end of your blog post. And it's you saying, you know what? I hope that this was helpful to you. And next week we're doing a webinar. Now your ad is going to get more traction because people will click on something that's low commitment. Reading a blog post. Now, once you have their attention, not only can you try to capture them here, but if they don't click, if they still leave, now you remarket an ad where you say, I want to target everyone who watched this video or read this post. If they read that, I want an ad to show up to them now when they log into Facebook. And now they're going to see this and go, shoot, I should have signed up for that. Oh, well, let me click on. You're going to have higher return on your advertising dollars because you've just warmed them up. They've gotten to know you. They see your name. They see your business. It works better.
Oh, that's so smart because maybe they liked it, but they weren't ready for the webinar. Yeah. They just need to see you a couple more times.
Exactly. Or maybe they were reading it. It was great. And then all of a sudden their kids came home from school or right. they're reading it and something, their phone rang. So they never clicked to actually commit. Well, now when they log in again, they see, that's weird. I just read this. And I think by now most people kind of get how that works. But I think there's still people that go, that's so freaky. I see her face everywhere.
I love it when people say that to me, like, how did Zappos know I wanted those shoes?
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's magic.
It's magic. Or they go, I'm so creeped out because that means Google's listening to everything I say. I was like, yeah, or you visited their website. But either way, they all work. I like that kind of magic. Well,
you know, and me too. I mean, the flip side is I get to see what I want on my feed. So
that's what I say. I totally agree. I go, yeah. I would rather, when I log in, see custom ads based on what I like versus Viagra ads. I don't need to buy Viagra. Like, quit showing me that kind of stuff. I mean, do you remember the old days?
It was horrible.
Ads. Yeah. Like, show me stuff I'm interested in.
Right. I'm with you. So, right, mine's all high heel shoes, boots, and CrossFit gear.
Exactly.
So let me ask
as it should be.
That's right. This might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about strategy and then also about tactics. So let's say I'm a small business. Because I know you work for hotels and others that are trying to eventually, right, get reservations or some kind of other sale beyond an email and right. you know, a webinar, the way kind of we do in our content world.
Right. So
how should I think about my marketing strategy from a, you know, and particularly the online stuff where you really kind of, you know, have all that expertise. And I know it's kind of all bucketed into once. I hear what you're saying about, yeah. it's not about this versus this. They have to be integrated.
Right.
How do I, if I'm starting to think about that, how do I even think about it? Because honestly, sometimes it feels like, God, if I just could get consistent in posting, but it's not just that. Like, I know that doesn't just work. So.
Yeah, that's the activity that needs to follow.
Right.
But first, you do have to sit down and write down a strategy of, you know, what are my goals? And what, first of all, what are my business goals? Because that's where you should start. What are you trying to achieve in 2017? And if somebody says to me, my goal is to really infiltrate a specific industry this year, I really want to work with this industry, I want to sell to this particular industry, I go, okay, so let's write down that industry. Because now immediately I think of, okay, on social, we have to boost how many people you're connected with in that industry. You need to try to write articles in that industry. You need to do some videos that are very specific to that industry. So content wise, I can already come up with some more specific things that we would do based on what your business objectives are. Then we say, okay, who's our audience? If that's your goal, who's our audience? Then we say, where do they hang out? Are they on Facebook? Are they on Snapchat? Are they on LinkedIn? We need to know. And most people just assume that. They go, well, I hate Facebook or I hate Twitter. So my customers,
nobody's on Facebook.
Yeah, they're always on LinkedIn. Of course they're on LinkedIn, a more sophisticated audience.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, everyone is on Facebook. Let's just face it, okay?
Yeah,
they may not admit it. And they might not do business with you on Facebook or visit your business.
But they're there.
But they're there. So yeah. Therefore, an ad placed strategically into that news feed will hit your target audience when they're conversing with their mom on Facebook. There, you can still reach them. They may never like your business page. Let go of that as an objective, because some people think my objective is to have 10,000 fans and likes on my business page. Who cares if 10 people like your business page? You want to reach the person in their newsfeed who's there because they're talking to their best friends and their parents. That you can do on Facebook, even if you think your audience is more LinkedIn. So, you know, we have to let go of some of those old ways of thinking. And so the strategy has to be, where is my audience? And then what content do they find interesting? So I say, before we even write content, we start looking at who are my competitors, and I go to their website, their Facebook pages, their LinkedIn pages, their Twitter accounts, and I make a list. And this is another thing that chaps my hide. People go, I don't have competitors.
Oh,
you don't need to market.
No, so. I don't. You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me, that means you are really myopic and probably going to fail.
Yeah, you haven't done your homework.
We all have competitor, and you know what? Even if you don't have a direct competitor, nobody does exactly what you do. Your customer is still making a choice between you and someone.
That's exactly. Where is your ideal customer spending money instead of with you?
Right.
So you need to go to those pages, those profiles, and you need to start looking at what type of content are they sharing that gets engagement? Mm. What type of information are they posting, and how often are they posting? And what does it look like on their page? Really analyze, not just one, but as many as you can find. Then that strategy starts coming together, going, okay, so we're going to need to post. Our competitors are posting, you know, 5-6 times a day. So can I post 5 and 6 times a day? Am I going to be able to write that much content and make it interesting? Okay, that should tweak my strategy of, if my business objective was here and this is what it's going to take to do this, you know, you start putting that into place. So I just think too many people just think, oh, jump on social media, create an account and throw some stuff up and promote our business and link to our website and it'll work. It doesn't work. And yeah. And 6 months later, a year later, some people several years later, they go, I've wasted so much time on social media.
Well, and, you know, and I've learned the hard way that I think likes and shares don't equate necessarily to dollars at the end of the day. You know, if you're not doing it right, which I've obviously done it wrong many times. And it's so crowded, right? It's not what it was when it started, where you could really shine really easily.
Right. And, you know, and then it came to a point of going, there's so much content, but there's no visuals. So a lot of people started trying to stand out. You know, I always said, you want to stop eye traffic. So what can you do to stop eye traffic? And still, I see horrible images. You have to look at, people get on Facebook and they scroll. People get on Instagram and they scroll. People get on LinkedIn, they read a little more, but there's still a lot of content there. So there's, what's going to stop their eyes and make them look at your content? The first thing is an image. The second thing is a headline. So, you know, you have to be strategic. And as you go, the way to tweak that and fine tune it is every month, look at your analytics on your platforms and say, what were my highest performing posts and which were my lowest performing posts? And let me look at, why did people like this one? Was it because it was short? There are some people that write way too much on Facebook. Nobody reads on Facebook. We like big pictures and shiny objects. It's like, do fill in the blanks and A, B, you know, choices. Make it easy right. for people to engage. LinkedIn, maybe we didn't have enough content there to engage the thinker there. So, you know, it's thinking of who is that customer we're trying to reach? What do they like? Did I do my homework enough to see what people engage with in groups? I like to see what are the topics that people get heated over and really get a discussion going. And can I write a post on that topic? Because maybe it'll draw. I know that there's an interest there. So pay attention to what's going on off of your page. Typically, all we do is we care about posting.
It sounds like if I probably spent more time, or anyone listening and watching, spent more time observing, I'd probably have to spend less time trying to figure out what the hell to post.
Right. And you wouldn't have to, you wouldn't post as many just junk posts. You would spend more time crafting more specific and tailored content that even if you didn't post as often, and there is a direct correlation with frequency equals higher numbers. I mean, that's just bottom line. The more you post,
well, they see content, more, right?
Yeah. And it's just really because you're hitting different people at different times. You know, we log into social media and let's say we log in at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. We kind of scroll through and then we've had enough of that channel. We check out Instagram for a while and we had enough of that. Then at noon, we might check in again. We see totally different content. So as a person that's trying to reach an audience that's bigger, I need to look at different time zones and when people when people log in to read and consume, make sure you're posting enough that you're, you know, if I log in at noon and you only post at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m, I don't even see your content because that's already way down there. I'm not going to scroll that far.
Right, right. Yeah, I got to stop posting at 4 a.m. I don't think it's working.
Unless you're trying to reach people. See, if you're trying to reach people on the East Coast,
it might work. You're right.
That works.
Email marketing is, I think, a little bit the same way, too. It's a game of when is the right time to post.
And I heard the most interesting thing. David Scott, I was talking with him, and he works for a company, does a lot of the email marketing. And it's a payment processing company for small businesses. So they're B2B. They send their emails out on the weekends. And I thought that was fascinating because you always hear Tuesdays are the best time. Yeah. He said weekends because nobody sends email on weekends. And he said, think about now, today, especially if we're marketing to entrepreneurs or people who, like most of us, work 7 days a week, we're always reading our email. We're always reading, you know, we shouldn't be, but we are. So he said their weekend open rates were higher than any other day of the week. I thought that was really interesting. So we're going to play with that.
Yeah, you know, there's a woman who emails me on the weekends, and I do open her emails every time.
Because, I mean, you've got time. I always say the best social media days, the best, your content's going to get read the most on the weekends because people are catching up. You know, I haven't checked Facebook all week.
And they're not worried about, I need 15 minutes to go to this meeting. They can actually catch up on all this. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of a game, right? I mean, I think we've seen this, particularly in the last couple of years, with people come out with some bulletproof methodology, and it works for like a month, and then everybody does it. And
everybody does it.
We're all marketing the same way, and then it doesn't work anymore.
To me, if you keep in mind, marketing is all about experimentation, always. And I tell our team this, is marketing is all about you try something, and then you measure what happened. And then you look at it and go, okay, how can we tweak it? How can we change it? Okay, let's try this. Or this worked really well with the software companies we're working with. Let's try it over here with the restaurant. Even though it's totally different industry, see what happens. So you're constantly evaluating, you're experimenting and tweaking and, you know, and which is another thing. We kind of get in a routine, just post once a day, every day, post twice a day, every day. It's like we're not experimenting anymore. And so keeping that in mind, try some new things.
Yeah, it's, you know, I love how real time the analytics are and how you can actually make adjustments kind of on the spot. There's a couple things that you've said that I want to touch on. One is, you know, you kind of hinted at it, but I think it's really important that Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, et cetera, all kind of, right, et cetera,
ad nauseum.
Right, all have a different culture, I guess, for lack of better terms, to them. So, and I see this happen all the time where people will post something to, let's say, Instagram with a million hashtags, which I get, but then they post that on Facebook with all the hashtags. I find it annoying on Facebook.
Yeah.
So they take one thing and they they post in the exact same way. I'd love to get your perspective on that, because should we be posting, can we post the same thing? It's a matter of how, or do we have to be, is it totally different, the narrative on YouTube?
It always depends. You have to think of who is my audience. And what's interesting is I'll get people who connect with me on Twitter, and I go and I look at their profile, and every one of their posts has FB link. That tells me they posted this on Facebook, and it auto tweets. So I'm thinking, why would I connect with you on Twitter? You never look at your Twitter stream. I can tell that by looking at your Twitter stream, because you're auto posting your Facebook post to Twitter. Why would I connect with you there? If I want to connect and have a real conversation, right, I would need to do that on Facebook. People auto post their LinkedIn to Twitter. And to me, what you're forgetting is it cuts off. So people are gonna have to click more to read, and they're not gonna do it. They're looking for the 140 characters. They're looking for an image there. And the audience is different. So sometimes, let's say there's an event that we're doing, I want that message to go out across all of them, but maybe my graphics are different. Maybe on Facebook, it's a fun question or a more fun graphic or an in the moment picture. And on Instagram, maybe it's a picture of me or a short 60-second video talking about the event. And then on LinkedIn, it's the link going to the, you know, so even though it's the same content, it's written a slightly different, or you could,
that makes sense. Times
you can get away with the same content, same places, if the audience is right. I always say Instagram to me is the one you have to be careful, because stock photos on Instagram, I hate. And most people hate them more than I do. And yet we see stock photos that are horrible. With tons of text on it. People aren't on Instagram to read text. So it's like, it needs to be a cool image that captures and makes me draw in to want more. Instagram's just a tougher, it's great for products. It's tougher for services on Instagram.
You know, the pictures that make me laugh the most, Gina, are the ones from the stock photo companies. And it's all the business ones where they're all like, you know, with their thumbs out.
With the flip chart right here, and they're all high-fiving with their, it's like, okay, that is the most unrealistic, perfectly diverse team I've ever seen.
Right. It's just ridiculous.
It is.
And it's driving me crazy.
And I think it says something about your brand. It's like, okay, you're not really authentic. It's not really showing me what's going on. So I do think content needs to be different. I hate auto-linking. I always say, if you're going to want to put the same content to several channels, then use a tool like Hootsuite or Sprout Social, where you can write the content and choose to post it to different channels, because then at least it's going to those channels, not linking from another channel. And sometimes you'll put out a longer post on Facebook and you'll need to rewrite that for Twitter so it doesn't cut off. And you know, again, it is a little more work, but people can tell when you do the shortcuts.
Well, it feels lazy when you don't, and it makes me want to not engage with you.
Well, again, it makes me look at it and go, why would I connect with you here?
Right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. You have really interesting clients, and you know, obviously I don't want to ask you anything that's confidential, but I'd love to hear kind of some of those client case studies, or maybe one that really shines, where you can share a little bit of the tactics and some of the ROI, like what happened because of it.
One that always jumps out is we have a client that's very well known and kind of has a celebrity status and has millions of people that watch like all the YouTube videos and Facebook page.
Not me.
I'm talking about you.
Just kidding.
And yet the sales weren't coming through. So when we first started working together, we were like, okay, so let's find out who is your audience. Because sometimes what we don't realize is the people we're targeting have no money.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about that. Sometimes we're marketing to a group that they just don't have money to buy. So then you either have to come up with a different product to sell to that audience with no money, or you have to change who you're marketing to. Which in this case, we did both. We came up with a new product. We came up with multiple products, so different levels of product. Instead of one high price product, there was now many that they could choose from. And we helped come up with that and came up with some ideas and names. But then we also looked at who are we connecting with? Like we have all these people that are, a lot of them were teenagers that were connecting because it was the cool factor, but they're not going to buy. So it's like, okay, we have to intentionally go out and connect with people and use, and that meant different types of content because it may not have as much of a cool factor, but we need a sales factor. and it works. I mean, and still we've been tracking increased sales every single month. And so sometimes it's just we're targeting the wrong people. And maybe we don't know, maybe we have to survey our customers. And maybe it's just, we've never really thought of it. Like, oh yeah, I'm targeting an audience who's broke, you know, and can I create a product that's a lower priced product to serve that audience and yet still now go after a different audience at a higher price, price point. Hotels is one, again, this is one where we did something different because in the past they were just putting up posts and they weren't really tying it to actual revenue. And so we looked at creating specific links for Facebook, specific links for Twitter, specific, so we could see, and we tied into the revenue system so we could see revenue generated per post. And then what we found was which channel drove traffic the best, which actually on the other one, we actually found out the channels that we thought were really important. Like we thought Twitter was super important because there were so many followers. But no traffic was coming to the website, almost none. I mean, it was so minuscule from Twitter. And what we found was Pinterest, which we had kind of just had as a stepchild,
for hotels,
driving more traffic than any of the others combined. So we started going, oh my gosh, we've got to put together a Pinterest strategy and be very intentional on Pinterest of making sure we were linking to products, and we started doing buyable pins. And so, you know, look at your analytics. And if you don't know how to do that, you know, ask someone to help you, pay somebody for a couple hours to set up Google Analytics on your website and help you just set that up. Because every month you can get a report that's free that tells you where's your traffic coming from. And then make some tweaks based on that, because you might think you should be spending all this time building your Twitter following. And I still know so many people that they care so much about the vanity metrics of Twitter. I need more followers on Twitter. It's like, why? Your customers will never buy from you on Twitter. Like, that's not, if you're selling a product, you need to look at Pinterest. You need to look at Instagram. You need to be on a site where you can showcase your product better than on Twitter. And so, yeah, I think that's, you know, just some examples where we've learned by looking at the measurements and the analytics, you have to make some big changes to get the results.
So wait, what's buyable Pinterest? A buyable pin?
Yeah.
You said that. I was like, wait, what? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, on Pinterest, you can, and I know I knew this before I started using it marketing because I bought shoes this way. So on Pinterest, I mean, the interesting thing about Pinterest is we're either there with the intent to buy, or we're window shopping. So we have the intent to purchase later maybe, or dream about purchasing if it's a, you know, dream homes and dream gardens and things like that. But we have more of an intent to search. Pinterest is not a social media site as much as it's a search engine. So people go to Pinterest to search. I'm searching for a recipe with the intent to make this product. I'm searching. So if you, we do social marketing for a cheese and butter company. So we're like, we need to be on Pinterest with tons of recipes, and then they link back to your products.
Right.
So
that's the whole gravitational pull.
Totally. So you have to look at who's on there, what are they looking for, and then how do we pull them closer? And on Pinterest, people have more of an intent to buy. Twitter, I have an intent to look and click on a link that goes to your website to read a post maybe. Facebook, I just have the intent to browse and engage on fun stuff and click on cute kitty pictures. But on Pinterest, if you have pins, so if you have products, you can create, and you can do this on Facebook as well, and Instagram. So now they all have this buyable ability. You can have a store on Facebook. But on Pinterest, I can put the product in there with a link that without leaving Pinterest, I can click and purchase. So for the consumer, it's instant gratification. I see the shoes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to have these.
Yeah.
Instead of going and now searching for those shoes, following link after link after link, I just click, and if it says in the corner, it's buyable. So I can click and purchase right off the
hot dog. I think you just opened up a whole new world for a lot of people.
You have to set up payment systems through Pinterest. And so you have, you know, you Shopify and those are tied in with that. But if you sell products, spend your effort setting things like that up instead of how can I get more Twitter followers so I can drive traffic to here so that people can buy my product. It's like, yeah, it's a long haul.
You know, it's so interesting for our business. Twitter is where people know that we actually have something to say about innovation. That's right. It's just a validation. It's just a check mark.
It shows expertise.
Yeah.
Because you're
not purchase.
Right. Right.
It's people who are already intent on purchase. And then they want to go to Twitter to see if, you know, the innovation stuff is, if we're real, right? If we actually say stuff.
But that would drive me, Twitter would drive me to a post or a download tips or a webinar. So Twitter's a good tool that can help me get closer to that planet. That's the webinar that then leads to a sale. So yeah, I could see. And again, if I'm just a product company though, it's just a longer, it's a harder gravity, you know, find other channels.
So when clients come to you, what are they saying? Are they frustrated? Are they trying to accomplish something? When they pick up the phone, what are you hearing from them? Because I feel those frustrations are across the board with other people too.
Yeah. Two things are most common. One, they have no time. So they kind of hit a point in their business. They go, I don't have time. And so social media has become a back burner thing and therefore it never gets done. Or they've hired somebody that they thought they could, you know, have help them with social media, but the person didn't spend all day or focus on social media. They kind of were thrown that task on top of everything else.
Right.
So it also got thrown to the back burner. Or the second one is people are frustrated. They say, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years. It doesn't work for me. And we have actually, we manage services for clients or we have a coaching side so that we can help the DIY. There's a lot of the people that say, I still want to do it myself, but I want to learn how to do it myself.
Right.
So for a long time, we were like, I really couldn't help you because we either do it for you or we don't, you know?
Yeah.
And the question I always get is, can you tell me a book that I can get on social media? I go, no, because the minute the book is published, it's already outdated. They've already changed all the platforms. You know, so it's one of those things, people come to us when they're either just frustrated or no time. We work with a couple big clients that were part of a big marketing team. And so there's, you know, on one of the client software clients, there's 20 people on our team, on their team, and we're part of that team. So we get on a content call every week. They have somebody that blogs. They have somebody that just puts together webinars. They have somebody that, I mean, so they have these people that's all they do. And then we plan together the content. So we have a webinar coming up next month. Okay, let's get the graphics together. Okay, let's start putting the links. So, you know, big companies have the luxury of lots of people and they usually outsource to social media, ironically, because it's hard for one person in a company to stay up on all the changes that happen in social space. So they say, we'd rather outsource that to somebody that's all you do versus
actually up on
someone on our team try to stay up on it. Yeah.
So I want to go back to, you wrote a post called Social Media Doesn't Work Unless.
Right.
So I should say it this way. Social media doesn't work. Unless
you work your butt off. Yeah.
tell us a little bit about what was in that post. Cause I thought it was really important and interesting. Some of the things that you had in there and some of them that made me go, oh, God, Tamar, what are you thinking?
Well, and you know, and even yesterday I did a Facebook Live and another blog post that tied in with that is the concept of, we think if we do social, which there's part of the problem is you don't do social, you have to be social. And so
just out of the gate.
It's a big differentiator because doing social means I'm throwing posts up there.
Right.
It doesn't work. And so I always say social media doesn't work unless you work your butt off, because to really make it work, it is a lot of work. You have to think through this whole content universe concept and you have to say, okay, I'm going to have to invest time being social, meaning I have to think, who are my potential customers? Where do they hang out? I need to go and become part of that community. So maybe I'm chatting in the Chambers Facebook page because I need to be involved there. Doesn't mean I go there and immediately say, I can provide that service for you and put my link on my site. It means that I'm seeing what they're discussing and I like and I comment. And every time I like and comment, it leaves a link back to my Facebook page. So if I like and comment from my business page on another page, I'm leaving little traces, but yet I'm doing it in a subtle way and I'm there to become part of the community. I always say, think of other businesses that are complementary to yours, find their Facebook pages and groups and become a part of that community, because Social media doesn't work unless you invest the time to build relationships with your consumers. Now, if you're a rock star brand like Starbucks, they don't need to go out and become part of the community because everyone seeks out Starbucks.
Right.
Yeah, and their social works when they respond to things right. on their page.
They are social at the end of the day. They respond
on their page. Yeah. So if you're a rock star brand, you don't have to do all the work off of your page. Enough is happening on your page. But when you're a smaller business, there's nothing happening on your page. So if you want it to work there, you have to leave and go to other pages to be involved in conversations and offer your expertise when it's asked for, and then it draws people back to your page. Yeah. So, you know, to me, that's one of the things is we don't spend enough time walking about our digital community, building relationships and being involved in the community and liking other people's stuff. I said, we don't even listen to what, and I actually had somebody this week tell me, I don't care what other people have to say. I have a job that I go, you shouldn't be on social media because that's not a social behavior.
Right. That's like going to a party and being like, I hate all you people.
I hate people.
Why am I here?
I don't know why are you, and I,
but I'm here.
I'm this close to saying, shut down all of your accounts. Because yeah, if you hate social media and you hate all that it stands for, go ahead and shut your accounts down. But keep in mind that in 2017, 77% of Americans now have smartphones. That is a number they were saying has gone from like, we used to say half of the country has a smartphone. 77% of our citizens
Incredible.
In the United States have smartphones, and we do everything on them. So we have to look at it and say, if we plan on staying in business in 5 years, we better embrace this because it's not going away. We have to find ways. How do we connect in a digital world? It isn't the same as Yeah, I used to be able to go to an event and meet people and build relationships and set an appointment and get business. Well, guess what? They're not answering your phone calls and setting those appointments anymore.
Right. And yeah. And you have such a big, a broader opportunity online.
Totally.
You know, you're not geographically hindered.
But it still takes time. So I tell people, think of it as in the morning, you're going to a chamber event every day. In the morning and in the afternoon, every day it's on your calendar and you're going to log into this digital chamber and you're going to go and mingle and mix and chat and build relationships and people are going to see your face and get to know what you do. And then they're drawn gravitationally. They're drawn to you because they're like, who is this person? And wow, look at all this interesting content they have. And that's how you draw people in. When I say social media doesn't work, another thing I always point out is we're so impatient. We think it should all happen. You know, why aren't people buying my stuff already? It takes time to build relationships.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, the thing that drives me crazy is the laziness. When we were talking about a little bit earlier, but there's a few companies I know that what they do on Facebook, what I see is, here's our latest product. That's it. That's the post. I'm like,
here's how great we are.
Right. Here's my newsletter.
Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah. That's okay. There's another side thing on your website. Go and look at your website. How are you capturing people's information on your website? Because if the only way you're capturing it is sign up for my newsletter, who wants another newsletter? You know, don't try to just get me to sign up for a newsletter. Give me something of value on your site. Click here for 10 things that you need for this, or here's a resource guide for you to do XYZ. That's something free for me. I'm going to click on it. If it's valuable information, I'll give you my email address. But sign up for my newsletter is the weakest call to action.
Subscribe. Don't ever say subscribe.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, download this, join our community, find ways to be more social and friendly on all of your platforms, including your website.
You know, it's interesting. We just launched this year. We're doing four of them, these 14-day innovation booster programs. So it's basically 1 3-minute exercise a day for 14 days to increase your innovation metabolism. Mm-hmm. And it's free. And it is a ton of work on our side and it's on a member site. And And I think it's part of our digital marketing, our marketing, I should say, strategy. Right. And we had more signups for that than I had in 6 months of just straight up join or subscribe. Or
after 14 days of hearing from you and getting great value from you with no commitment, why wouldn't I want to work with you?
Right. You know? That's my hope.
I mean, it's like, but think about if they're not working with you, they probably aren't working with someone else. So, you know, if I'm going to hire someone, if I'm going to work with somebody, I'm going to work with somebody who's now giving me 14 days of value versus the person who says subscribe or, you know. So I think that's another thing. I think, and you know, I don't know why, for some reason this came up, but there's a guy that I know from Facebook who sells a product, and he got his community's input on, what do you guys think of this new product? And it's at a high price point. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. It's great. I love it. He didn't ask, would you all buy it? Right. He said, what do you think of it?
Two different questions.
And yeah. When he launched it and nobody bought it, he's like, okay, everybody said this was awesome. I go, saying it's awesome and saying I'm going to buy it is two different things. That, why do you think Kickstarter works? Because you're saying, give me money and then I'll make the product, right. You know? So sometimes we launch big things and we don't think through, will people buy it? And we need a gateway, like a 14-day trial of something, a 14-day, usually 7 and 14 days are great trials. If you go 30 days, it's too long.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
Yeah, it's like 14 days. It's like, I know you at the end of 14 days. I like you at the end of 14 days.
And, you know, and I'm looking at the login rates, and 100% don't log in and do it every day by any means.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But, you know, I think kind of to your point, the lesson I learned was I got to pump out good value stuff for people to engage with me before I'm asking them to buy a year-long membership on Launch Street for their company or themselves,
right,
or take the assessment or, you know, whatever. And I used to try to do that, and it really didn't work for me.
Yeah, which is a great point. When you're creating these planets, make them digestible, because 14 days is a lot of content. You're right. People aren't going to log in every day. 30 days, way too much. It's like when people have an ebook and I download the ebook and it's like 80 pages.
Oh God. Then you're like, oh no.
I can't read 3 pages. Remember, we only read tweets nowadays. So if it's longer than 140 characters and it doesn't have shiny pictures, I probably can't even read it. So, you know, think through when you're giving something away, make it digestible that they can get through it so fast that they'll be able to take the next step with you. Sometimes it's just such a big commitment. I never get to know you because I get my eyes glaze over.
Well, and don't you think that, I think the mistake we sometimes make is we think that more content is more value. And that's, I don't think that's what you're saying. You're saying the opposite, really. Like make it high value, but digestible content.
I mean, think of how many books we buy that we read the first chapter and we never go any further because...
My entire bookshelf.
Yeah, I know. I can't even go there. I'm like, gosh, I'm such an ADD adult and I didn't have it as a child, but I download something or I get an email from someone and there's no paragraph breaks. I'm like, I got to save this for later because it's too much to read.
Oh, God.
So think of your audience, make things short but value packed, and they'll get through it and see the value that you just gave them. Make sure it's not just all sales copy, but it's truly action packed things they can use. And they're going to leave and go, that was so good. I made a difference in my business, or it helped me in my personal life. I want more from that person.
Yeah. God, that's such great advice. So we're close to out of time, which makes me so sad because I have so many more questions. But how can people find you and engage with you if they want to know more?
Yeah, we say just Google Gina Schreck. But I am on every social channel, including Snapchat, which I still hate. We use it. I still hate it.
It makes me feel old.
Well, I don't like anything that disappears, even though now you can save all your stuff. But Instagram has Instagram video, live video, and it disappears after. I'm like, hey, my stuff is so good. Don't make it disappear. I always tell my kids that. Like, my pictures are good.
I want no shade on my work.
Yeah. But I'm everywhere as at Gina Schreck, GINASCHRECK, or everywhere as Social Connects. Our company is Social KNX. We got too clever when we came up with the name, but it's KNX Social Connects.
Got it. So if you're watching or listening, I would say that I would really think about your strategy and make sure that you're not confusing tactics with strategies.
Exactly.
Right. So posting 3 times a day is the tactic, not the strategy.
That's right.
And if you are at a place where you know you need it, but you're super frustrated, then call Gina because she's brilliant.
Oh, that stuff, believe me. I'll slap you around and tell you to stop doing those things.
Well, I'm so appreciative of the fact that, you know, when you were talking about things that you did with clients, it wasn't just we figured out their content strategy. It was, what are products that we can sell online too? Like, you have to really back into your business, not just look at the posts, but really look at, what am I offering that actually makes sense out into the world? Because there may be, I mean, we know, you and I in our world know a ton of people who have a ridiculous amount of likes and followers, and they're not selling jack.
They're not selling anything. That's why I tell people, let go of the vanity metrics, because the person behind the vanity metrics may not be making any money. So you really need to look at, what is my business objective? how do I get there? Is the best way on this channel or that channel? Maybe it's not online. I doubt it, but there's always an online way to reach more people. But yeah, you just have to think through everything before you just jump on everything and create an account and then you flop, wasting time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. What's your last question? This is the couch question. What's the one kind of, you know, personal thing, hobby, passion, whatever, that we would be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, see, you probably wouldn't be surprised because everyone knows my entire life.
You're online all the time. Online.
it's been a couple of years, but I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa.
Right.
Yeah. And I love big adventures like that. So every year I always set a goal for some big adventure. I've done skydiving. I've got scuba diving. I've done bungee jumping. Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro was definitely a big adventure and challenge because I was the only woman in an all male group and you have to sleep in tents and go to the bathroom outside, and that was horrid, horrid. But it was a great adventure, and so I'm already lining up my next adventure, which is rim to rim Grand Canyon.
Oh.
I love having something that you have to train for and I think in our life that's important, in our business and in our personal life, have something that you have to train for and push yourself. Bite off more than you can chew, and then figure out how to digest.
My God, I feel like we just had a beautiful Zen moment, Gina. That was great advice.
Namaste. Nama pray about it. Yeah.
I got you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so fun. You're right. You and I could sit here and chat all day.
Oh my God. We could just go on and on and on and on.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.